Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your episode for Wednesday, February 21st. And this is your host, Matt Shook. The national anthem is in the news, and we're going straight to the expert to talk about it. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And also give the Locked On Pistons Twitter account a follow at Locked On Pistons. And we got a Facebook page that you should follow as well, Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. Today, we're going to be talking about the famous national anthem from Sunday with Fergie and getting our thoughts from Lachelle Renee. You know Lachelle, the Detroit Pistons national anthem singer. She has a great story to tell and also has some thoughts on Fergie as well. And at the end of the show, I'm going to share some numbers about the attendance at Little Caesars Arena compared to the Palace so far this year that might surprise you. The hot button issue about the Detroit Pistons that lingers beneath the basketball controversies and big stories and developments, especially these past few weeks for the Pistons. But as you've heard by now, Fergie caused quite a firestorm on Sunday, performing a soulful rendition at the NBA All-Star Game on Sunday of the national anthem before the game. It seemed like to me, being at this event in LA with all the stars around, that she was doing her own Marvin Gaye impression. Marvin performed the anthem in 1983 at the Great Western Forum, and that was the year that he died, actually, in Los Angeles, and blew the roof off the place with a drum kit that was playing behind him, and did a soulful rendition. The fans, who had to be surprised, that found themselves clapping along with it, and the players were all smirking and kind of loving the performance as well. Just a really great, you should go on YouTube and check it out if you haven't seen it already. Just an outstanding performance that Marvin Gaye had. Probably, and for my money, the best national anthem performance I've ever seen. Now, the Undefeated, ESPN's macro site about the intersection of race, sports, and culture, had an article recently about the anthem. And in that article, something I didn't know was that Marvin Gaye performed the national anthem in Detroit before Game 4 of the World Series at Tiger Stadium in 1968, when the Tigers played the St. Louis Cardinals. Anthems would become famous later that week, as before Game 5, Jose Feliciano, the Puerto Rican blind Grammy-winning musician, performed the anthem with a guitar and kind of a slow, brooding twist that became a huge story. Ernie Harwell, the voice of the Tigers, vouched for Feliciano, and people just generally hated it. Of course, you can imagine in 1968, the times were much different. But I went back and watched it on YouTube. It was a really good performance, and he reprised that in 2012 before a game with the San Francisco Giants in the 2012 NLCS. It wasn't again in the World Series against the Tigers that year, but Feliciano came back and performed that there. Like I said, really good, but it kind of ruined his career for a few years, different times in 1968. The Tigers won that game, Game 5, came back from the dead and stormed back from a 3-1 deficit to win the World Series, winning that game, Game 5, with the famous throw from Jim Northrup in center field to get Lou Brock out at the plate, taking the final two games later in St. Louis and winning the World Series title, which will be celebrated, by the way, this summer with the 50th anniversary of the championship. And I can't let those facts go by without mentioning that my dad was actually at Game 5 of the World Series, and he'll tell you all about it if you ask him. But also noted in the article of The Undefeated that you should check out as well, I'll link to it from social media today, is another article from Justin Tinsley, who wrote both of them, and he linked to it saying that Marvin Gaye once tried out for the Detroit Lions. He was apparently really good friends with Lem Barney and Mel Farr back in the 70s, and actually got a little bit of a training camp during a mini camp type situation at the University of Michigan when Coach Schmidt let him take the field for an unpadded day. But alas, Marvin Gaye did not get the invite to actual training camp, but he thought he could score on his first touch of the ball, but never did get it in his NFL snaps. And then, like I said, a lot happened in Marvin Gaye's time and life. The way that Lem Barney and Mel Farr talked about it in that 2015 article was that this was kind of a nice time for Marvin Gaye's life. He was sober and on the right path, and then he kind of went through a tumultuous period before disappearing to Europe for a while and then resurfacing with Sexual Healing, the song, in 1982, and then came out with the anthem. A couple articles that I was just read just now, and you guys should check those out. I'll link to it, and I won't spoil the rest of it. But the Detroit Lions figure prominently into Lem Barney and to Marvin Gaye's life with Lem Barney and Mel Farr. And I won't spoil it, but another anecdote about something that those guys did that is something you know about but don't know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story about it. So check it out there. But I think it's weird that some people hold the anthem, especially back then, but even now, in such high regard. I think I watched Fergie do it on Sunday. It was fine. I really didn't see what the problem was. It wasn't the best rendition or a Marvin Gaye or Whitney Houston or anything like that. But it's like in this country, we take all these other norms and throw them out the window sometimes. But what's wrong with adding a little bit of flavor and own touch to the national anthem, especially when we have so many talented artists and musicians out there? I will never quite understand that it's an odd hill to die on, especially when it's a good performance like Marvin Gaye or Fergie. I mean, you could argue if it wasn't your taste, and you know, obviously I'm not a huge Black Eyed Peas fan or Fergie or anything like that, but thought it was fine, and I appreciate someone putting their own little spin on it. Now, obviously Roseanne and Carl Lewis and stuff like that, I get that, and where that's disrespectful and crosses a line of bad taste, but mostly I say go for it, give it your own shot. But I wanted to get some thoughts from the biggest expert about it in Detroit, so I have an interview that I'm going to play for you guys with Lachelle Renee, who's been doing the Pistons national anthems for years now. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
And we are now being joined by Lachelle Renee, the national anthem singer for the Detroit Pistons. The national anthem has been in the news in the NBA the last couple days. First off, thanks, Lachelle, for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome, Matt. Thanks for having me.
What's the story for folks that don't know about how you became the Pistons anthem singer? I believe about 5 years now that you've been doing the job at the Palace and also Little Caesars Arena.
Yes, it's been 5 years. And a lot of people don't know that I actually got my start on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And she had her rendition of American Idol for older, mature people. And so I decided to send a tape in singing my favorite song a cappella, and she had over 15,000 entries, and they narrowed it down to 8 contestants. I found out that I was originally not one of the 8. They decided to take one person out, and they brought me in at the last minute. After 3 shows, I was named the winner of Oprah's Pop Star Challenge, and that was in 2004, and so many doors have opened since then. I've been very blessed and thankful for that.
Now, Lachelle, another, like I said, been in the news lately with Fergie at Los Angeles at the Staples Center on Sunday doing the anthem before the All-Star game. Most of the reaction seems to be negative about it, but I've seen some people that kind of like it, and we consider you the Detroit expert on national anthems. So what do you think? What's the verdict?
Yeah, you know, I kind of felt like she was channeling her inner Marilyn Monroe. And I love the fact that she was different, and she stood out, she took a chance, and she made it hers. And I, you know, applaud her for that. I definitely have nothing negative to say regarding that, because I love to change it up from, you know, time to time. I don't get too far out there because, you know, I don't want to get reeled back in and say, hey, come on now. But she made it hers, and, you know, that's something that's going to forever live, as other very well-known artists have made, you know, the anthem song their signature song and how they performed it. So kudos off, you know, my hat's off to her. Kudos to her.
Now, speaking of some of those people that have made, you know, the anthem their own, do you have someone or a favorite maybe rendition over the years or a sporting event or otherwise that someone has done that kind of stands out to you?
Yes. Jennifer Hudson. I really love her rendition. Of course, Whitney Houston, Marvin Gaye. And I've just heard so many different singers. Pink even recently did one for the Super Bowl, and, you know, I applaud her because she was actually dealing with the flu. So that's not an easy song to do when you're not feeling your best. So I really enjoyed her rendition as well.
I'm glad that you mentioned the Marvin Gaye one. He did it at the All-Star Game, and I believe this is probably the one that you're referring to, the NBA All-Star Game in L.A. in the early 1980s. And if folks haven't had a chance to go on YouTube and watch that, they really should. I think the Fergie rendition kind of conjured up that a little bit, but you can't help but sway, and as you're watching it and listening to it with Marvin Gaye, did that performance. Check it out on YouTube for sure if you haven't had a chance yet. Just a classic performance by a classic performer.
Yes, obviously. Yes, it is.
Now, Lachelle, let's forget about those other people. What about yourself and your performance? Is there a particular game that you did with the Pistons that stands out, or maybe outside of the Pistons where a memorable performance of the anthem that you've done kind of stands out above the others?
Yes, when I first started singing the anthem, it was in 2012, and when President Obama came to Michigan, and he was on his campaign trail, so he made a few stops to Michigan. My very first one at Joe Louis Arena, that one stands out. Chauncey was the one that introduced me, and it was an electric audience, and I really enjoyed that. I don't sing it that way now, but I really enjoyed the atmosphere, and it just brought the song to life, you know, with how people responded to it. So, yeah, that's definitely memorable for me.
What you mentioned Chauncey Billups introducing you. Was he kind of involved in getting you involved with the Pistons? You mentioned the Oprah Winfrey contest, and it opening a lot of doors. But was there a specific instance where a certain phone call was made by someone or something like that?
You know, no, I think it was just word of mouth. A matter of fact, there was a former member of Palace Entertainment. He wasn't with Palace Entertainment, but he was on the other entertainment team that actually they were leaving, transitioning out, and the new Pistons entertainment team came in, and so I was referred by that gentleman, and I had no idea. I just received the call to come in and audition, literally in the corridor of the stairway. The acoustics were awesome, and I love the effect that it made in the stairwell. So it was that is how I actually became the anthem singer, auditioning in the stairwell of the Palace.
One of the things about the Palace that people talked about were the concerts and all the memories of all the shows over the years, and that it was, you know, built really well for acoustics and concerts. Do you have an opinion about how the two facilities themselves stack up?
Well, you know, I had opportunities to open for Brian McKnight and Babyface at the Palace. Singing there in a concert atmosphere was awesome. And singing the anthem there was even great, you know, greater than that. And so the sound is powerful, but at Little Caesars Arena, I had to adjust because there is an echo, and I know that most artists, they use, you know, the inner ear for the mic, but I decided not to. So I've had to adjust and get used to that echo sound. It's different, and it seems like it's a larger space there, you know, opening the sound. It doesn't as quickly bounce off of the walls or the ceiling as it did at the Palace, but, you know, they're both great facilities. So there's a plus for both places. I miss the Palace, I have to say. I do miss the Palace, getting to get familiar with Little Caesars, but Palace will always be my number one favorite place.
Yeah, it is a place with so many memories, and like you said, Little Caesars Arena is growing on the fans, and turns out the players and performers as well. So we'll see how that goes over the years. And you can I'm talking to Lachelle Renee here, national anthem singer for the Detroit Pistons. You can find her on Twitter at Lachelle Renee as well, LASHELLRENEE. Are there any other places where fans can see your work and get updated on what things are going on? And I understand you're working on some new music as well.
Yes, I am working on new music. I'm excited. I can't wait. The sound is going to be different from what has been put out there in the past years. I'm just ready to you know, share my gift in a way I've never shared it before. And turning 50, you know, you have a mindset of you're not focused so much on pleasing others, but more about, you know, what do you desire to do? And so that's where I am right now. This music is going to speak to so many people at a place where they are in their lives, whether good times, bad times. Is going to be songs that will encourage you, inspire you, and uplift you. Oh, you can find me on Facebook as well as Instagram and LinkedIn, all Lachelle Renee, Lachelle Renee Thomas, and YouTube, Google me. You can find music that I've already put out there and prepare for the new music to come.
If you had to put a one-word genre on what the new music is going to be, is it, I know you've done some gospel in the past, and or is there a way you can describe it real quick for folks?
Oh, wow. In a nutshell, I would say inspirational.
Inspirational. That sounds great.
Put it. Yeah.
Well, Lachelle, I want to thank you for taking the time with us today and providing your perspective and a little bit of a lesson on how you got to be front and center before tip-off of the Detroit Pistons as they try to get back to the glory days. And you've been there front and center for the last 5 years. So thanks for your time.
You're very welcome, Matt. It's been my pleasure, and I appreciate you. And I hope you have a wonderful day. And thank you to all the listeners. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks a lot to Lachelle Renee, the Detroit Pistons anthem singer, who joined us for that interview today. Really enjoyed doing that interview, but I wanted to pass along some of the attendance numbers from Rod Beard of the Detroit News. Did a story earlier this week, a few days ago. He kind of some surprising numbers, but if you were at the Palace the last few years, maybe they won't be so surprising to you, but obviously the story being at Little Caesars Arena, how the Pistons haven't been able to fill the place up, and lately adding the black Art Van seat covers to kind of make maybe a little bit less noticeable at times instead of the bright red Little Caesars Arena colors of the seats that have kind of made things a little bit more illuminated when the empty seats are out there. But Beard says, last season the Pistons ranked 25th in NBA in attendance with a total of 655,141 fans in 41 home games, an average of 15,979 per game, or about 72.1% of available tickets. That percentage was last in the league last season. This year, a little bit better. Beard notes that the attendance figures have jumped to 531,316, ranking 19th in the league, averaging about 17,139 in 31 home games. They got the 5 sellouts this season compared to 2 of all last season, and an 80% renewal rate of season ticket holders from the Palace. He also went on to note that the Pistons' attendance jump is actually 3rd in the league behind Philly, who's had a huge attendance jump with their success this year after the years of doldrums, and then the Denver Nuggets, who went from 30th to 21st. So, you know, as we talk about the surprise that the new arena hasn't attracted as many fans, and that certainly is the case and certainly is true, because you would have figured that maybe a much more profound attendance jump would have happened for a team, especially one that was had a miserable season last year and has had a decent season and a really good season at the beginning of this year. A couple of months there where they were playing just as good as most of the teams in the NBA, if finding it hard to believe at times with the peaks and valleys that this season has been. But just some notes to think about as the second half of the season comes along. If you haven't been to Little Caesars Arena, obviously you should check it out if you're a Pistons fan in the Metro Detroit area, and let us know what you think about it when you do make that visit. But tomorrow we're inching closer to the return of the Pistons after the All-Star break. They're going to play Friday night at home at Little Caesars Arena against the Boston Celtics. But we're going to be going a little bit deeper into the Blake Griffin trade, kind of a look through the rear view a couple weeks out into it with a special guest to talk about the Clippers angle of it as well on tomorrow's show. But you should be following the Locked On NBA Network Twitter handle for the Locked On NBA Network at Locked On NBA Net, and give us a follow and a like on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes if you like what you hear, and also give us a subscription to whatever service you get your podcast from that you're listening to us there as well. Want to thanks again to Lachelle Renee, who was a great interview. We've enjoyed watching her at the Palace and Little Caesars Arena over the years, and I want to thank her for taking the time to join us here on Locked On Pistons. But thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you all again very soon.